Welcome to the March 29th meeting of Hope Bible Church in Tampa. We trust that you've been able to be encouraged and strengthened throughout this week as you have hopefully and prayerfully encountered all the trials and challenges that have been a part of our change in our lives through modifying to the COVID-19 situation in our country. We want you to be able to worship with us today and are glad that you're going to join us as we have our call to worship from Psalm 63 and as we pray together. Hear the word of God. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this day, and we want to bless you. We want you to know that we are ones who are thirsty for you. We want to hear your voice. We want to experience your presence in our lives, that we would be able to walk in courage, that we would be able to walk in joy and peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, that is not ours but given to us by you. We do pray and ask that you would fill Steve Hogan up with your Holy Spirit and that you would enlighten the eyes of our heart that we might see you clearly and learn from you this very day. So we commit this time to you, this time where we all are together listening and prayerfully coming before you, hopefully knowing that you will bring us peace and hope in this time. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we do pray.
Hi, this is Steve Hogan here with Hope Bible Church, our virtual service. Indeed, these are unique times, special times that we are living in, but I'm glad that you can see me. I sometimes say it's good to see you. Of course, I can't see you at all by faith. I believe that you are listening, but glad that we can be together this way at least, and of course touch base in other ways through the week, communication, different means that God has given us. But I wanted to share a few things about the coronavirus, how it's affecting us, and just some suggestions. Then we'll get into the message right after that. But as you know, it continues on, and I just want to give you an update about our state, how that relates to us. In the state, there's five particular counties that are really being hit so far. First, there is Dade County, Miami-Dade. That's 981 cases. And Broward, 795. Third, then there's Palm Beach County, 279. And then there's Orange County over in Orlando with 191. Then we have 189. The reason I say that in terms of counties is the hotspot in the state is not here. That's a good thing. It's down there in Miami area, Broward County area, and it's important for us then to do what we can to stay safe and not be a hot zone like that. I think we all understand enough to know that things are going up, that things are getting higher and higher, and we've not by any means reached our peak yet in this country or this state. And it's going to be who knows how long. Many have suggested it'll be sometime the month of April. Some might say the first or second week. Some might say the third or fourth week. I'm thinking sometime it will. We just don't know when. Only God knows what's going to happen. But hot spots all over the country. There's New York and New Orleans, Washington State. Now they say Philadelphia, Chicago, Detroit. And as I mentioned before, the Miami area as well. But the thing I wanted to say here is we need to do what we can in this Tampa area. That's where we live. Some of you listen to this outside of this area, but for those of you in this area, we need to do what we can. I'm going to mention four things particularly. First, personally, is in terms of continue to do the things you need to do, washing your hands, your social distancing, all those things just to stay just more clean, so to speak. I know I've probably washed my hands more this past week than any other week of my life, which we need to do. It's important for us to do that because, again, for your own life, your family, your friends, and for this this city, this county that we live in. That's what we need to do. So I say that the order directive just came out from Hillsborough County yesterday, started last night at 10 p.m. That is on Friday, to the safer at home directive. That is, stay at home unless it's absolutely essential. Those two words are the words that were used. This directive, absolutely essential. It means don't go out unless you need to go out for food, go to the pharmacy or gas, and that's about it. So we need to do that because we need to stay apart from others during this really unique time. Safer at home. First thing is personally what you need to do. Secondly is just keep praying. Be praying for your lives, your family, your friends, the church, us as pastors, Bruce, Steve, and myself, for the leaders of our country, the president, vice president, and for the ones, the medical people that he's working with trying to make decisions. So it's very important that we pray. And thirdly, I just encourage one another. I've heard different reports of how ones of you are talking to people, whether, again, it's phone, email, text, Zoom, whatever it might be. That's good. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. Keep that up. We need to, as it says in Hebrews, encourage one another day after day. In fact, I'd make it a goal to be in touch with somebody every day, whether it's one person or two or three or four or five. Encourage one another day after day. That's what God wants us to do. That's what the devil does not want us to do, to stay in touch. So let's be staying in touch. And finally, I just want to say also then evangelize. As God gives you opportunities, share the gospel with the lost. Lost out there, confused, don't know what's going on, maybe panicking, afraid. I've heard different people like that, very much afraid about what's going on. God wants to give us all the peace that we need to trust him in this whole situation. He will get us through. We definitely know that. Just a couple more things here I want to mention. We're not going to be meeting next week. That's April 5th. Probably not for Easter, but we don't know for sure. We'll let you know later this week. But again, just to let you know that you also know, of course, this message is on sermon audio. Pass it on to any friends. Also, a shortened version of this message is on my blog post, ChristKingdom.org. You can look at it there. So just to mention that one more final thing, the PDF of all my notes, my written notes, you can download on that sermon audio site. With that, let me just share a number of things on what I believe is a very important message titled Our Relationship with God. As you know, the coronavirus has resulted in people getting sick and dying all over the world. It has caused quarantines, social distancing. It has caused slowdowns and shutdowns and lockdowns. It's caused markets falling and some might even say crashing. It's caused financial losses and job losses. I'm really amazed and astounded how this one little virus that started way over in China has now spread all over the world and affected and impacted people all over the world as well. But is not God sovereign? Yes, he is. Is not God in charge? Yes, he is. And has not God ordained this pandemic, this coronavirus pandemic? Yes, he has. He has done this. And I believe one of the main principal primary reasons he has done this is to wake us up as Christians. That's what I believe he wants to do. So they're not so fleshly and worldly minded. Let me say, like the Corinthian Christians way back 2,000 years ago, written in 1 Corinthians 3:3, Paul says, "Are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men?" And I'm not saying all Christians are fleshly and worldly, but in this country, many are. And this should not be. I really believe God then is using this coronavirus to get our attention, to wake us up, to slow us down, to even stop us, to get our minds off of worldly things and be ones then who are seeking him. As you know, we live in a country, there's all kinds of places to go and people to see and things to do, but maybe he wants you, spiritually speaking, to lie down. I love the verses, Psalm 23:2. It says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Maybe that's what he's doing with your life right now and this whole situation, making you lie down, slow down, get time with him, be refreshed by him. I can testify my own life through the number of years I've been saved. Many different times he'll stop me. He'll stop me because he knows I'm too busy doing the things I don't need to do. And he wants me to slow down and then get time with him. More than anything or anyone else in the world, you need to be close to the Lord. You need to depend on him. You need to trust him. You need to be one who's loving him. And with that, then being satisfied by him. God needs to be first in your life, the most important relationship you have, the one that you love more than anyone else. I love how it says it in Psalm 73, David says, whom have I in heaven but you? And beside you, I desire nothing on earth. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is my portion, the strength of my being forever and ever. Might that be true? Might you be able to say that today? That's what God wants for you. My favorite subject on this verse, on this subject of our relationship with God, is John 17, verse 3. Jesus said to his Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus then defined eternal life as knowing God and himself. That is, having a relationship with himself and with God. That's what he defined it as. And this really is, when you think about it, is an amazing and incredible thing. You talk to people all over the world, all kinds of religions, they will tell you this can't happen. But this is what God tells us in his word, that he wants us to know him, to have this permanent and personal relationship with him, where we then are talking to him and he is talking to us. We are loving him and he is loving us. We are spending time with him and he is spending time with us. We are then close to him and being satisfied by him. Psalm 16:2, again, another great verse about our relationship. David says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. Can you say that today? And can you say that you have spent time with your Lord, with Jesus, your Savior, the one who loves you more than anyone else, with God, your Father? That's what he wants. This is what he wants you to say. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and I have no good besides you. What a blessing and what a miracle that we can know God and that we can have then a relationship with him. What Christ did for us by dying on the cross and rising from the dead results in more than just being ones who are now right with God, have righteousness from him, but we are reconciled to God. That is, we now can have a relationship with God. God didn't just save us and set us off in some far place of the universe, but rather he saved us so we could be his child. We could be a child of God, so we can then have this relationship with him, where we could again know him and love him and be then close to him. And someday, of course, as you know, then we will then literally be with him in heaven. It really is an amazing thing, this relationship with him. Then it's the single most important thing. Our relationship with God is the single most important thing in life. And he doesn't want any of us to think we're doing good, to be thinking we're having a good relationship with God, when in fact we are deceived, deluded. And many people are like this. They think they're doing fine with God, but they're not. They're deceived. They're deluded. They're taking in, they're feeding on what I call the junk food of the world. Sadly, this deception describes the lives of many Christians. One of my favorite verses on this is the verse in Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 5 and 13. Jeremiah said, thus says the Lord, they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty. My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. But that one phrase, we go after things that are empty and we become empty ourselves. That's true for many Christians, and sadly so, might it not be true of any of you? I hope you realize that worldly and fleshly desires are waging war with your soul, and to have a close relationship with God then is a struggle. It really is a struggle. It's a struggle that you need to win. That's what God wants for you, to win this battle against your flesh, win this battle against the world, so you can then have this close relationship with him. We live in this country, this world. There's so many things to do, so many things to do, so many places to go, and God wants you to be close to him. Paul's testimony in this, I love this. This is Philippians 3. I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul understood that all things to be lost, all things to be rubbish, to be dung, it's worthless. Everything is worthless compared to knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. Like Paul, then, God wants you to have this close relationship with himself, where you're experiencing this eternal life, where we then know him and then are being satisfied by him. That's what God wants for you. Wherever you're at today, or whatever's happened in your life, this last week or last month or last year, this is what God wants for you. And so God wants you to wake up at this time. Hey, he wants this for you. There's no doubt about that. And to know God and Jesus then means you know who they are. And this is, again, we could go on the subject for really hours. What does it mean to know God? But there's just three simple points I'll mention here briefly. One is that we know his offices. That is, God is your Father. God is your heavenly Father. Wonderful truth. God is your Creator. He is the one who made you just the way you are. Secondly, Jesus Christ, he's your Lord. He's your Savior, the one who died on the cross and rose again from the dead. He's your King and the coming King. So he's your Savior, your Lord, your coming King. And then we also understand not just their offices, but But what are they like? What is God the Father like? And Jesus Christ, of course, the Holy Spirit too. And we know that many things can be said. I'm going to mention a few here. They are supreme. Their character is such that they are just and holy and wise and good and powerful and loving and patient, forgiving and compassionate, sovereign, all these things. But it's not just knowing these things in your head, but knowing them in your heart and experiencing them in your life. So important. So many people have lots of head knowledge about God and about Christ, about the Bible, and know many verses, but they don't have the heart knowledge. They don't have that experience of Him in their daily life. And that's what God wants for you, this heart knowledge, experiencing Him every day in your life. Finally, you know their purposes, that God and Jesus want people, first and foremost, to worship them and glorify them. Your primary purpose in life is to be loving God, to be worshiping Him. And with that, what God wants then is to save people in the world. He wants to save people so they can know Him and experience in His life and His love and His mercy. As talks in Galatians 5 about the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience. All these things God wants to give you. I mean, it's free. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of eternal life. In context, again, not talking about salvation, but this relationship. The free gift of God is a relationship with Himself. Wonderful, where I mentioned here these few things that you can experience. The Gospel of John, Jesus describes Himself with what are called the I Ams. To summarize just a few of them, He says, I am the living water, and I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the true vine, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way and the truth and the life. Wonderful things. We could talk for many hours about each of these here as well. But to sum up, knowing Jesus means knowing Him in these particular ways, means being satisfied by Him and experiencing these things, being filled up with Him. We all know the analogy of the gas station. You all have gotten gas. You go there and you get gas. You put that nozzle in the gas tank, you know, and you fill it up. And you all know that if you have no gas in your car, you're not going any place. Same too, if you don't have Christ in your life, you're not filled up with Him, you're not going any place as a Christian. You might put on a show, you might put on a front, but man, you need Christ in your life, as it says in Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's what He wants. I mean, you think about this again, He wants to be filled up with really everything you want. But we get so easily deceived and go after these things in other places that we ought not to do. One of God's primary desires for you then, whether it's here or in heaven then, is to know them. Let me ask just a few questions relative to this. First of all, are you experiencing God's forgiveness? This is important. Just one simple truth that's so relevant to your life, that as you go through life and you sin, you do things that are wrong, and God wants you to then, you know, be convicted by the Spirit and confess those sins to then experience the forgiveness, the forgiving love that God wants you to know. So there's the forgiveness. You see how He has been so good to you. God is good to us as Christians in so many ways. And I'm talking physically and spiritually and relationally. He has blessed us so much. The goodness of God. Do you know then next how He's been sovereign in your life? Do you think about how God works in your life? Do you think about what happened yesterday and 2 days ago and this past week and even this whole situation with the coronavirus? It's a sovereign working of God in your life, in your family, in the church here, as well as in the whole country. I mean, God is really using this, and He is in charge, and He knows what He wants to do. Be aware, be sensitive to God's working in your life and what He wants to do in your life. Next one is, do you see how He loves you? Steve read that verse earlier. One of my favorites is Psalm 63, verse 3. It says, your love is better than life. To say to God, your love is better than any other thing, any other person in life, as it says in 1 John 4, I've come to know and have believed the love that God has for me. Can you say that? Can you say, I know God loves me and I believe that He loves me personally, individually, and I know that and I've experienced that and I'm thankful for His love for me. So you see then that He is your shepherd, that He wants to take care of you, your bread, that He wants to satisfy you. He is the living water, the one who wants to refresh you. He's also then the light of the world, wants to lead you in the ways that He has for you. I can't stress enough then the importance of knowing God, who He is and what He is like, and getting to know Him. And this is what God wants for you. All understand in relationships, it doesn't just happen overnight. Meet somebody one time, you don't immediately have this deep relationship. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes days and months and years. I've been saved for about 47 years now. Long time. Still growing in this relationship with my Father, with my Lord and Savior. But getting to know God shouldn't be something that is a burden. It shouldn't be something that is hard to do, that you don't want to do. If that's the case, something's not clicking right. You don't understand the real mercy and the love of God and what He wants for you. It should be something you delight in, desire to. It says, delight yourself in the Lord in Psalm 37, verse 4. Here's what Paul says, Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ. I love that. Can you say that? Can it be said of you out there where I want to know Christ? This is what I want more than anything else in life. I want to know Christ. If that heart isn't there, pray that it is. Okay, that's all I'll say. If somehow you're lacking the desire to know the Lord, then say, Lord, I'm missing. Something else is in my life clogging things up. Something else I love more than you that shouldn't be there. Show me what it is so I can repent of it and say no to it, and so I can then put you first in my life. This one from Jeremiah 9:24. Let him who boasts of this, that he understands and knows me. So what should you boast about? How much money you have, how smart you are, you know, your education, things people in the world boast about? No. Boast of this, that you understand and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. That's the thing to boast about, that we know him. That would tell others, man, I'm excited that by his mercy and grace that he has allowed me to know him. But it's more than all this. We've talked primarily so far about what God has done for you. But your relationship with God, of course, is not one-sided. It's not just what he says for you or does for you. It's you're relating to him. You're responding to him. Let me mention a few things here that I think are relevant and practical. First, it's telling him thanks for saving you, for providing your needs, for giving you a place to live, for the church, for the family, for friends, for the blessings talked about in Ephesians chapter 1. There talks about spiritual blessings and, of course, physical blessings as well. This really is important, and this needs to be a daily thing, and really just throughout the day where you're thanking him for who he is and what he's doing for you, but being thankful with that then and really proceeding from that's praising him, exalting him, loving him with all your heart. The last verse in Psalm 118 says, you are my God and I give thanks to you. You are my God and I extol you. So we see the connection between thanksgiving and praise, thanksgiving and worship, thanksgiving and loving God. Those two things are so critical of expressing your thanks to God really every day and then worshiping him, praising him as well. It's loving his word and learning what he wants you to know and do. It says in Psalm 119, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Again, the love for God, the desire to know him relates to loving his word. They need to be connected. You say you want to love God, but you don't read his word, then you're going to miss. You're not going to be able to really love him and know him in the way that he wants. It's believing what he says and meditating on his word. In Psalm 1, verse 2, it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Meditation is a nice word for thinking. Is what do you think about? It says in Proverbs, as a man thinks, so he is. What you think about will define your life. It'll define what you do, what you say, your spiritual growth. It'll define all these things. It'll define your relationships. And so you need to think about his word. That needs to be foundational, thinking and meditating on the word of God. It's obeying him. It's keeping his commands and doing whatever he tells you to do. It's like today thinking, okay, God, am I doing what you want me to do? You really need to think about this as you go through the day, as you start, particularly start the morning off with that, having that mindset, God, I want to do what you want me to do today. And I am going to do what you want me to do. Have that heart. And God will give you the grace to do it. But not to do what you want. Again, that mindset is often there. And it's not good. I want to do what I want to do today. It's my time. I got all this free time. That's how we think in this country. And it's not the right way to think. We are really servants of God. And more so even, we are slaves of God. It's praying. It's asking him for help for your life, for the lives of others. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's by faith we go to God, believing. And again, this is a contingent. Sometimes people pray, but it's just words. It's not real heart because they don't believe that he exists, number one, and don't believe, number two, that he wants to reward them, that you pray and God will bless your prayers. So God wants you to pray, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. It should be, not just a one-time thing of the day, but a daily thing, during the day, that is. Next is getting time alone with him, where you can pour out your heart to him. Tell him how you are thinking. Tell him how you are feeling. pray more, have more time to pray, have extended times in His Word. I think of the verse, I think it's Mark chapter 6, Jesus told the disciples, they've been very busy, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. I love that. It says of Jesus that early in the morning He'd go out to a lonely place to pray. We need those lonely places. You know, if somebody asked me about my life, you know, what's the most important things, I'd say two things. Number one, getting time with Him on a daily basis. And by God's grace, I do it 99.99% of the time. I miss sometimes, but rarely, because I know it's important. And it's not a duty. It's not a law. I love to do it. It's refreshing. It's encouraging getting with my Father, getting with my Savior. I love to do it. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is getting more alone time with Him. Early on, back in the early 80s, I had a friend. His name was Brent, but he was an exemplar. He'd get with the Lord. He'd go to some place and get time with God for a day or two. And so I started doing that. And I want to say that, along with my regular time in the morning, is one of the most important things for my life. Getting that extra time. When I moved to Tampa 21 years ago, one of my first desires, I got to find a place. I got to find some retreat center, some camp I can go to. Up in Maryland, I drive an hour one way to find a place. Down here, I found one 5 miles away. And so once a month, that's my goal. And usually about the second Tuesday of every month, that's what I do. I go get with the Lord for the day. That's my desire. I love it. Just pay $20, go to the camp. Barely anybody's there. So quiet, so nice. Time to read, time to pray, time to relax, even sometimes take a nap to get refreshed. That's what I do. We need that time alone with the Lord. And finally, then, it's just walking with God. That is going through the whole day. I've talked about things you do when you're with the Lord, but going through the day, knowing that God is with you, and then walking with Him, where you then know that He loves you, and you love Him, and you're talking to Him, and you hear Him talk to you through His Word and through His Holy Spirit, and just being close to Him, wanting to do what He wants. That's what we're talking about here, enjoying Him. Again, it's a relationship. I think you all have people that you really like to be with. And you think about it, here we can be with God our Father, Jesus our Lord, and the Holy Spirit too. It says in 2 Corinthians 13:14, we have fellowship with Him. We can be with Him all day long, you know, through the night. I mean, it's wonderful. And so many of us are missing. That's why I'm sharing this message here, this importance of our relationship with Him. Of course, we have the example of many believers. I'll just mention a few examples. Example of Enoch walked with God, which just the fact that it says that is just, it's a powerful. It's in Genesis 5, I think, verse 24. He had a great relationship with God. And then God took him early, you know, didn't live to 900, 950 years, but just the 300 or so. But Enoch walked with God. Then we read about Abraham. He was called God's friend. This is James 2:23. And it's not many places in the Bible where it says this person was a friend of God. That means something. But that should be our heart, to be a friend of God, where He can say that about ourselves. Similarly, we read about Moses. This is Exodus 33:11. It says, then the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Can God speak to you that way? I mean, this is so encouraging, the kind of relationship that God has for us. The example of David, of course, you read the Psalms, and I will tell you this, the best example of a person who had a relationship with God is David, and verse after verse after verse, probably hundreds of verses talk about this. So if you want to, practically speaking, grow and having a relationship with God, read the Psalms. And the Psalms is what I read every day. That's part of my routine in the morning when I get with the Lord. Read the Psalms, and that will help you. I'm convinced it will help you grow in your relationship with Him. Read about Mary, the mother of Jesus. She, too, had a close relationship, and not just with Jesus as her baby or infant, a little toddler, a young man. Of course, she was, I'm sure, had a good relationship with her son that way, but she had a close relationship with God Himself. Read about this in Luke chapter 1. Part of Mary's song. It says, Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for He has had regard for the humble state of His bondslave. So you see the love that she had for her Father, for Savior, her Lord. Well, let's go back to this coronavirus. I believe this coronavirus pandemic is a loudly ringing alarm clock that's trying to wake up people all over the world. It's affected over 150 countries, and you've got Christians, I would assume, in every one of those countries. God's trying to wake us up. This verse in Romans 13, verse 11 says, do this knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. I think of that sometimes. Written 2,000 years ago. Now in this time, in these end times we live in, the Jews being back in the land means we are in the end times. not that long from now when Christ will come back to this earth to take us home to heaven and then pour out judgment upon this world. You have a Father who loves you so much. You have a Savior who died for you, who lives for you, who prays for you, and can't wait to come back to this earth to take you home to heaven. And now during this time of social distancing, don't be distant from God, but draw close to God. Grow in your relationship with Him. And one aspect of that is wanting to see Him, looking forward to see Him, which is talked about in many places in the Bible. We should be ones who are excited, longing for Him to return to take us home to heaven. Whether that be by rapture or by death, it's going to be one of the two for us here in this world this time, because I believe the rapture is not far away, but maybe you'll die before that. Who knows? Only God knows how He then will take you to heaven. A few verses I want to conclude with. First, this is what Jesus said to the Laodicean church. It was a lukewarm church. Jesus said they were lukewarm, said, hey, you're neither hot or cold. I should spit you out of my mouth. This, He's talking to the believers. Listen to what He says here. Very important. Those whom I love, again, talking to believers, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. You might have heard through the years that that's a verse, a salvation verse. You tell that to somebody if they want to get saved. No, it isn't. It's not for unbelievers. I mean, you can share with them, that's fine, but it's not the main intent, the main purpose. The primary purpose, that is for you as a believer to see that if you're not walking good with God, you need to be repenting. And what's He say there? Be zealous to repent. You know what that means? That if you hear this today, well, I'm going to think about this message for a week or two, and maybe a little while later I'll sort of get closer to God, meet, you know. No, zealous. Now's the time. Now's the day. Don't wait one day. Be zealous and repent. That's what He is saying. Behold, an attention-getting word, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, any one of you hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. That is, God doesn't break the door down, but He does. He says, I reprove and discipline. You know what that means? That means there are some times in life that God will put you through certain kinds of trials or difficulties or problems because He wants to wake you up to the reality that you're missing the most important relationship in life. You're missing Him. So sometimes trials are designed for that reason. So I would pay attention to what's happening. But regardless of where you think you're at with God, we can easily be deceived. Regardless, I would say what Paul said in Philippians 3, I want to know Christ. I want to know Him. Another verse. Let's learn from what Jesus told Martha, Luke 10. You're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part. It will not be taken away from her. A classic picture, an example of a person who was not really sitting with the Lord. Mary was. She was sitting with the Lord and she was close to the Lord, but Martha was not. She was in the kitchen busy and bothered by many things. The idea here is that we can be too worried about things. The first example we read there in Revelation 3 is about being worldly. Here's about being worried. If you're a worried person, you're going to have a hard time getting close to God. You say, God, take these worries away. Help me to sit down with you and learn from you and to love you and to enjoy you. That's what He wants. So this example here from Martha and Mary, Luke 10. The final verses are from Job 19, 25, 27. Again, classic verses on a relationship with the Lord. Job said this. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, that in the end He will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see Him with my own eyes, how my heart yearns within me. I love these verses. Here's Job. He's severely suffering, going through severe suffering. He's got this skin disease, whatever kind it is. It's a skin disease, and it's really painful. But he's thinking this way. That's because he has hope. And his hope is that his life will be different. He won't have this old flesh anymore. But also then, he knows that Christ, the Savior King, the one we know is Jesus Christ, He's coming back to earth and He's going to rule and He's going to reign. He knows these things. And it's important for us then to take this to heart too. Job knew he would see Jesus face to face. This is the hope that we need to have. As we're here today, we can have this relationship with Him now, here, now on this earth. But the hope should be, hey, we're going to see Jesus face to face. That's how Job was thinking. This is how we need to think. This is what we should desire. This kind of hope will help us get through the hard times of life. But this is what He wants for you, to have this hope of wanting to be with Jesus and be with Him forever. I want to read this again because it is so encouraging to me and hopefully to you as well. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know. I have confidence. My Redeemer is alive right now in heaven, one who loves me, looking upon me, praying for me. that in the end of this age, that is, he will stand on this earth. He's coming back. That's what is sin. And then he says this, after my skin has been destroyed. I don't know if he meant presently that situation, but I think he meant, hey, my body's going to fail me. I'm going to die. That is, all of us here, our skin will be destroyed. All of us. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, that is in my redeemed flesh, my glorified body, I will see God. I will see Jesus face to face. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I love the way that makes it personal. I myself will see him with my own eyes. Think about that. It's a wonderful truth. It's not going to be long. I mean, life is short. It's just but a vapor. It's not going to be long before you see him face to face. Then it says, how my heart yearns within me. That is his desire, what he wanted. It's like, again, what Paul said, I want to know Christ. How my heart yearns within me, how I want this to happen. As Paul said, and again, in Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He went on to say, yeah, I'd rather be in heaven. I'd rather be there. That's a better place to be. But for now, God has me here. And he was accepting of that. But that should be our heart. We should see that. And really, on one hand, in a good sense, want to die so we could be with Christ. But again, that one phrase, how my heart yearns within me. So just a few thoughts here this morning. I trust that God has spoken to your heart and the importance of knowing him and having this relationship with him and wanting this more than anything else. But God's got to do this. Again, the way I'd start, and we're going to pray just in a few seconds here, is say, God, help me to have this close relationship with you. Because you can't do it in your own flesh. It's not by your might, your power. It's got to be by God's grace and spirit and word working in you. That's what he's got to do. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. We thank you so much for your great love for us. You've called us into your family. You've called us into a relationship with yourself. And Father, this is so amazing that you are our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, to our Lord, Savior, our brother, our friend, and Holy Spirit, our comforter, one who's with us and in us. Amazing truths. I would pray, Father, that you help each one of us then to more clearly see the relationship that you want us to have with you, where we are then not just talking to you once a day or praying once in a while, but walking with you like Enoch walked through the day. I pray we want this, we desire this, we would love to have this, God. And I pray, Father, for each person hearing this message, that God, you do a special work in our lives. And even some of the practical points here, help us to do what we need to do to get close to you, Lord. And I pray, Father, again, by your word and spirit, you do this special work so that we would love you. So we could say, I have no good besides you. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. Lord, this might be how we think and how we feel and what we say to you and what we want. And for each of us here, Lord, just wanting that time. We know life is busy. We know there's much to do. But boy, if we're not taking the time or carving out the time, setting aside the time and making sure we put you first and giving you the best time of the day, we are missing. And so I pray, Lord, for each one again, listening to this, myself too, Lord, I need this. It's a struggle. It's a struggle through the years. But God, you've been faithful to me, and I know to many others. And thank you again for what you're doing. Thank you for this church. I pray, Father, for each one, where they're at, this, again, very unique situation with our lives where we are apart from each other physically. I pray we'd be close in heart and spirit and communicating with each other. I pray there'd be protection of our lives too, Lord. I would pray physically that you would keep this virus from getting us, Lord, from affecting us, from us getting sick by it. Protect our lives, protect our church, protect Tampa, Florida, Lord. Thank you that it's not a hot zone at this time. Could be, but we don't want that to happen. Lord, just pray you protect us. And I pray that you do your work again in the lives of believers all over this country, all over this world, Father, as well as in the lives of unbelievers, to wake people up to the importance of knowing you, that life is really worthless without you. God, you do that. You point out to people their sin and bring the preacher, bring the one who's sharing the good news about you, Lord Jesus, and people's need to repent and put their trust in you alone, believing that Jesus, you died on the cross and paid for their sins, and then were raised again from the dead, proving, Lord, your victory over sin and over death. But pray, Lord, you give faith to thousands, to millions around the world to believe in you this time, to come to know you, be saved, and then to live for you, to love you, to glorify you. But again, thank you for this time. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you that you're with us. We commit all this to you now. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.